If you open your Bibles to John chapter 8, this morning we're going to be talking about the light of life. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is valid, because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone. But I and the Father who sent me judge together. Even in your law, it is written that the witness of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You know neither me nor my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Let's pray. Father, as we read your words this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit will just make them come alive in our hearts. That, Lord, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, so we can put them to practice in our lives. That the message we have today will bring us comfort and joy and just courage to move on in this dark world, Lord. I pray that you will just lead us and strengthen us as we listen to what your words have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I was young, I probably, as I look around, obviously I was a lot younger than most of you in this room. But one of the things I always heard my folks say was, you know, there's nothing certain in life except death and taxes. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but we've over the years we've said that time and time again. You know, there's nothing certain in life except death and taxes. But there are exceptions. With the evolution of our society that is being fundamentally changed, we are seeing more and more people who pay no taxes, but are net recipients of the tax revenue that is paid by others. The other part of this so-called certainty, death, is one that Christians will avoid if they're caught up in the rapture of the church. So we actually are not certain even about death and taxes anymore. However, there is a truly inevitable appointment that every person has, either after death or the rapture, and that is judgment. That's one thing we're not going to escape. That is true. If you'll turn in your Bibles now, just keep your finger there in John chapter 8, but turn in the back of your Bibles to Revelation and turn to chapter 20. And when you get to Revelation chapter 20, look down to verse 11. Remembering what we just said, after death there comes a judgment. John in the Isle of Patmos had this revelation from Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 20, this is what he saw. Verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead. All were judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." You see, that's a certainty. If our name is not written in the book of life, that's the judgment we are going to face. So once again, Jesus intensifies this heated controversy with the Jews and his amazing claim that he was the light of the world. Now, I know some of us have been in heated discussions, had heated controversies. But I'm kind of thinking that the discussions that Jesus had with these Jews was unlike anything that we ever had. There was a pure hatred for Jesus in what he was telling the people. They wanted other witnesses of his claim to be the light of the world, but they refused all the witnesses that the Father had already given them. God expected them, and he expects us to heed the light that he had given them and that he gives us, even if it was not according to our liking. Think about that for just a second. God expects us to heed the light he gives us, even if we might not like it. He who gave sight to the blind desires to give you sight in a spiritual world. God has that desire to open your spiritual eyes to see what he has for you. Jesus wants to light your way and lead you into life. Jesus wants to go before you. He wants to light your path. Into the darkness of sin and uncertainty, Jesus shines so that he may lead you into eternal life. Those that receive the light and walk in fellowship with Jesus dispel the darkness of the world. Now, I'd take a little sidetrack here for a little bit, show you my simple mind. At night, or in the morning now, when you get up this morning, it was black. It was dark. I'm thinking, there's something wrong. This is too dark for me to be getting up. And next week, guess what? It's going to be even worse. But you wake up or you walk into a dark room, and what's the first thing you want to do? Flip the switch, right? And what appears? Where did the darkness go? You ever ask yourself that? My simple mind, I ask myself, where did the darkness go? It was here just a moment ago, but when I flipped that switch, the light came on, the darkness had left. Where did it go? Well, you see, it's kind of the same thing in your life. When Jesus comes on, he switches that light, that switch on in your life, and the light comes on, the darkness has to go. Darkness cannot abide where there's light. They don't coexist together. You either have darkness or you have light. You can't have both. So the first lesson that we learn from today's reading in John chapter 8 is Jesus is the light of life. Look at 12 and back in chapter 8 verses 12 through 16 again. Then Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but have the light of life." You probably are saying to yourselves right now, "Well, you know what? I sometimes have some dark things in my life." But you know what? They don't have to stay. Jesus is saying to you, just flip the switch. You don't have to walk in darkness anymore. I am here. I am the light of your life. So the Pharisee said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus said, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is valid, because I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me judge together." You see, Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came as true man. And so what he is saying to them, as true man, I don't judge anybody. But if I do judge, I'll be in my role as the Son of God, and then I will judge with my Father. And they can't seem to understand that. This is the second, Jesus' second I am saying. And we got to kind of get an idea of what's going on here. It takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a popular, Jesus had used already the water thing when he said, if you're thirsty, come to me and get true water. That water festival took place as they prayed to end the drought during the Feast of Tabernacles. But now at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's this light ceremony. And four large stands in the the court of women, four large stands were filled with oil, and they were lit. Now remember, in Jerusalem at this time, there's no, Edison hasn't been invited in yet. So they don't have any power. The only lights they have come from torches or these bowls of oil that are lit. So remember what's happening here. During the feast festival of lights, these guys, the temple people who took care of the temple would climb up on these ladders, fill these big bowls up on the wall with oil, and then they'd light them, and that's the only light there would be. If you walked out of that courtroom, you would walk into darkness. But as long as you were in that courtroom, there was light. Can you imagine at night the city of Jerusalem just being pitch black? You know, there's no street lights, there's nothing. I mean, it's dark. I don't know where you live, but when I first moved up into Phelan, there was no lights at all. You'd walk out at night and you couldn't hardly see your feet on the ground. It was so dark. But you could look out on the out in the sky and just see all these beautiful lights called stars. Well, think about being back in Jerusalem and you walk outside of your house in Jerusalem and it's pitch black except for maybe some campfires around that people have going, and you'd look off to the temple and there would be this beautiful yellow glow coming out of the tabernacle from these bowls of light. Now kind of picture that in your mind. Jesus is, during that ceremony, Jesus takes that time to say, you see all these beautiful lights in that? And I'm paraphrasing this, so forgive me for that. But Jesus is saying, you see all these lights? I am the light. I am the light of your life. In that very court where the lighting ceremony takes place, Jesus stands between 16 bowls of filled with oil that are giving light, and he says that he is not only the true light of Jerusalem, but to the whole world. Jesus is referring to the countless times that God's saving work in the world is described as light. In chapter 1 of John verse 5, we read, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. You flip the switch, darkness has to go. God's first creation was light. Turn back in your Bibles to Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. That's an easy one to find, so you can just flip over there. Look at starting in verse 2. Well, let's start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look at verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, the first day. God's first creation was light to dispel the darkness. The word light was directly synonymous with God himself and his saving activity. God even led the Gentiles, or the Israelites, in the desert with light. Turn in your Bibles, just turn over to the next book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus chapter 13. And we want to start in verse 21. Now this is about the children after they come out of Egypt and they're going to head through the desert toward the promised land. They had no idea where they were going. They didn't know the route they were to take. They didn't know anything about except the fact that they were freed from Egypt, and now they were moving to the promised land that God had given them. And it says in verse 21, then the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and a pillar of fire to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. That pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of night never left its place in front of the people. Do you realize that's still true today if you are a follower of Jesus Christ? You have Him leading your way through life. And further, if we, Psalm 27 says, and they were taught to sing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Proverbs 8:22 says, God's wisdom given to the world is a light that illumines His people. In Psalm 119:105 it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Micah's confession of trust was, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. To Rabbinic Judaism, this light was defined further as God's word. The Torah became their light, and it guides and provides wisdom through study. Light is used to describe the work of Christ 16 times in the Gospel of John. John's first letter declares, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Now I want, I think it probably can, you get the little sheet that has the little blank spaces on it? At the very bottom, I tried to list all the texts that I was going to use today at the very bottom. So you can go back and you can check for yourselves. Check these things off. Sometime during the week, read these verses and help them put into you. Because here, I got to remind you again. When Paul was on his missionary journeys, he was going around to all these towns. He came to the town of Berea. The Bereans were not like some of the other Christians' places that Paul went to because they checked him out. They looked for themselves to see if he was telling them the truth. That's what you folks need to be doing. Whoever's standing up here teaching, check them out. Check the scriptures yourself to make sure what you're hearing is the truth. So I put all those on there, even the ones we didn't turn to this morning, I put them on there so you can check me out this week. See if I told you the truth. Now, turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. That's an easy one. Matthew chapter 4. And when you get to Matthew chapter 4, turn to verse 16. You see, the world is in darkness, a symbol of evil, sin, and ignorance. Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, we get a hint of what was going on. Beginning in verse 16. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. Remember when the shepherds were out in that dark night and in the night that Jesus was born? Guess what? When the angels appeared, what happened? What shone around about them? A tremendous light. The light was so bright that shepherds became feared for their lives because they didn't know what was going on. Light is a symbol of life in Jesus Christ. The people who live in darkness, back in verse 16, live in darkness, have seen a great light. And for those living in the shadow land of death, light has dawned. Jesus is the light, not merely a light or another light among many lights. He is the only light, the true light. We see that in John 1, verse 9. For the whole world, Jesus is the true light for the whole world. Now in chapter 8 of John, back where you were, I hope you put your finger there. Look at verse 12. Oh, I didn't. So let me get back to John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but we'll have the light of life. When Jesus said, whoever follows me, he meant whoever believes and obeys me. You know, in another place in the Bible, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. John chapter 10. If you want to turn back in John chapter 10, a couple chapters over from where we are right now, John chapter 10, look at verses 4 through 5. When he has brought all his own outside, he gets ahead of them, goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Now, I've never been to Israel itself, but I've been to Bulgaria, so I've seen this happen. In the United States, shepherds push their sheep. They drive their sheep with dogs, or they walk behind them. They drive their sheep in front of them. Over there in Bulgaria and in Israel, something else happens. And I was, a friend of mine who went over there was on a tour, and they stopped at this watering hole, and there was thousands and thousands of sheep all intermingled at this watering hole. And there were three shepherds there. And my friend asked the tour guide, he says, now how do they separate these sheep to get them back into the right place? And the guy just said, well, just wait a minute and watch. The shepherds, all three of them, started out in different directions, and they called to their sheep. And all of a sudden, this flock of thousands began to separate, and they would follow their own shepherd. What a picture that is for us. When Jesus calls, we know his voice. We know who he is, and we will follow him and none other, because we know his voice. Jesus is the light of the way of salvation. Walking in the light is a description of discipleship or sanctification. Coming to Christ for salvation results in a different kind of life. A believer will never walk in darkness. That is, he will never live in it. We might temporarily step into darkness, but we know the way out through Jesus Christ, who lights our path. Over in John chapter 12, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. How comforting is that? When we realize, when we believe in Jesus Christ, he's come to lead us in lightness, in light and not darkness. Nothing could have startled and shocked the people more in Jesus' time when he said, I am the light. There, I am the only light. They're standing in this magnificent place with these 16 bowls of light. And Jesus said, I, not they, I am the light. These words assert that the speaker is the source of illumination for the world. He is our only source for light in this dark world. Jesus clearly declared himself to be the Messiah. As of the names of the expected Messiah, one of the names of the expected Messiah was light. Turn back to Isaiah now. Remember, the easiest way for me to find Isaiah is to go back to Psalm, and then I turn back to the right through Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, and I get to Isaiah, and I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 60. And go down to verse 19, where we read, this is what we've got coming, folks. In verse 19, it says, the sun will no longer be your light by day. Can you imagine not having the sun? We've got a world coming where there will be no sun. It says, and the brightness of the moon will not shine on you, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your splendor. You know, when you walk into the presence of the Almighty God, his glory is so bright, you don't need any other light. That's what happened to the shepherds the night that Jesus was born. That light shone round about them. It was the glory of God shining through. Every time we see God shining through in the Bible, it's a tremendous light. First, it has something to do with light. In verse 20 of Isaiah 60, it says, your sun will no longer set, and your moon will not fade. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your sorrow will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. They are a branch I planted, the work of my hands, so that I may be glorified. Do you realize you're here today to glorify God? The reason he's brought you here into this congregation to sit here this morning and listen to what God's word said is to bring him glory. You're here to glorify God. Now, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what will. To realize, I'm here to bring God glory, the Almighty God, the creator of everything. and my task is to bring him glory? Just think about that for a minute. Knowing that Jesus is the great I Am, the light of the world, is not enough. That is why Jesus calls us to follow him. This is what Israel did in the wilderness, that he wouldn't have any dates left to eat, that he wouldn't have anything left except for glorious light for around us. But I want to just share with you that the people followed that light, and it led them from the land of slavery through the perilous wilderness of the promised land. Like the pillar in the desert, Jesus is the light of the world, and he must be followed. Following Jesus gives the believer the light to avoid the perils and snares of darkness. If we're in Jesus' word, if we're following the direction of the Holy Spirit, if we're walking the path that Jesus has lighted for us today, we will avoid many pitfalls that we fall into if we're walking in darkness. One little stupid thought occurred to me. I just want to share it with you. I live in a fifth wheel down in Hemet. And it's at night, it's really dark. So sometimes I'll get up and I go down to the kitchen, which is down three steps. And if I don't fall off the third step, I can walk to this to get a drink of water. Well, one of my little dogs has this little Nilabone. It's got little rough pebbles on it, or bumps on it. And he chews on that constantly, but he leaves it all over. And at night, walking down through there, if I don't turn on the light, I'm bound to step on that sucker. And it hurts, you know. And my wife has done that a few times. She threatened to throw it out, but he growled at her. My whole point is, if I'm walking down there in darkness, I have the option of stepping on that. If you're walking in darkness in your life, you have the option of continuing to sin. You have the option to continue to fall. You have the option to continue to walk away from the Lord. But if you're walking in the light, if I just switch on that light when I go down there at night, I could see that silly bone laying there and I could avoid it. If you turn on the light in your life, you can see the sin that might be in your life and you can avoid it. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to light your path. Following Jesus gives us the light to avoid the perils and snares of darkness. Only the one that follows Jesus, I want you to understand this, only the one that follows Jesus is delivered out of darkness and has the light of life. Others may temporarily get that light, but they don't live in the light. Jesus is speaking of wholehearted, lifelong discipleship, not of a casual adherence to it. Jesus is speaking of when we give our whole being to him. You know, some of us would like to hold on to part of it, right? I know when I was younger and when I was first starting out, I would argue with God. I'd say, no, God, that's too valuable to me. I need to keep that. And he would let me keep it for a while, but eventually he would take it away. He led Israel through the wilderness, and now through his word, his spirit calls us to follow him and throughout our life. Jesus has you here for a purpose. Not only to bring him glory, but also to fill you with his Holy Spirit that you can walk in the light of life. Yet none have this guidance that do not yield to him. That's where we make our mistake. Unless we yield to Jesus Christ, we don't hit that guidance. To follow Jesus is to believe and obey him, to walk in the path of his leadership. It speaks of a permanent spiritual attachment and continuous abiding in his presence. But many, many today still refuse that union with or following Jesus. Some people actually prefer to walk in darkness. I'm reminded of an old story of a desert nomad who awakened hungry in the middle of the night. He lit a candle and began eating dates from a bowl beside his bed. He took a bite from one end and saw a worm in it. So he threw it out of the tent. He bit into the second date, found another worm, and threw it away also, reasoning that he wouldn't have any dates left to eat. If he continued, he blew out the candle and quickly ate all the dates. Unfortunately, there are many who prefer not to turn on the light in their life. There are many today who prefer to walk in darkness and deny the light of reality. The two realms of darkness and light are clearly distinguished. The idea of light is that the active power which conquers the opposing power called darkness, each constitutes a power which stands in opposition to the other. But light triumphs over darkness. So let me ask you today, are you walking a path of darkness or a path of light? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your life and flip on that switch and put that light on in your life so that you can see the path that God has laid out for you? Or are you like the nomad? You'd rather switch out the light so that you don't see the worms. The choice is yours. It's a choice you have to make. There is only one sure thing in life, and that's not death and taxes. The one sure thing in life is judgment. The judgment comes at the end. How will you stand before God? In the light of His Son, Jesus Christ, or the darkness of Satan? It's totally up to you.